The book, A Course in Miracles, was first published in the mid-1970s.
That's right.
2 million copies have been sold.
Mm-hmm.
For listeners who might not be familiar with A Course in Miracles, tell us a little bit about it.
It's really a text. There's three books. Mm-hmm. There's a textbook, a workbook, and a manual for teachers. It was scribed, by that I mean it was written down, by a woman whose name was Dr. Helen Schuchman, who was a research psychologist and professor at Columbia College of Physicians and Surgeons in New York City, beginning in 1965. It happened in conjunction with her boss, whose name is Dr. William Thetford, who was head of the Department of Psychology at Columbia. Helen was, although she was atheistic in background and belief, she was something of a psychic, and just in the sense that she was very intuitive. She had very vivid dreams, which she would pay attention to, and which almost took on kind of visionary qualities. And one evening as she was sitting, she would write down her dream visions, and as she was recording one of the dreams, somewhere in the middle of that process, she heard this kind of inner voice or dictation kind of thing saying, "This is A Course in Miracles, please take notes." And so she did, and she just kept writing this down. It took 7 years. And it consists of almost 500,000 words, which constitutes the course, which is really, it's kind of a spiritual psychology. It's a way to help us to learn how to let go of the ego and all of its demands that it makes upon us, so that we can be free of that and return us back to really, really to ourself as we are, as God created us, so to speak, rather than in terms of the way we make ourselves up to be and the masks that we wear in the world. So it's a kind of spiritual psychology. It really couldn't have happened until after Freud. Helen was a Freudian psychologist, which was interesting, and Freud had done a really great job of describing how the ego works and ego defense mechanisms that we utilize, and et cetera. But he really didn't see a way out of it. He thought we were just trapped with this thing and kind of damned with it, and you died with it, and there was no way. If he'd read Eastern philosophy, he might have gotten some idea that no, it would be possible to be liberated from the tyranny of this thing that we call an ego. But, of course, he never studied Eastern philosophy, and he was an atheist throughout his life as well.
When you approach writing a book about a book, there's a bit of responsibility there, isn't there?
Sure.
What was your approach to writing this?
Well, the way it actually came about is that one of the vice presidents of Sterling Publishing in New York City, which is a division of Barnes & Noble's, read The Course in Miracles. And after he read it, he decided he wanted to publish a book based on the Course, about living these principles, that is, putting these principles into practice in your life. And he called the publisher of The Course in Miracles out in California and said he wanted to do that, and who should write this book. And they said, well, probably the best person would be John Mundy. So he called me and said, would you, it's one of those calls from heaven, like, would you by chance be interested in doing what you've always wanted to do? So, of course, you say, yes, I'd love to do that. So that's how it came about.
Forgiveness is at the core of A Course in Miracles.
Absolutely.
And that's something that's easy to say you want to achieve, but achieving forgiveness at times is incredibly difficult.
Right. So a good intention of the course is to help us to understand how to do that, and to understand that we actually have to do that in order to be free, liberated in our own minds. All that forgiveness means, in a very simple sense, is letting go, just letting go of whatever it is that we think that we're holding on to, which we really don't need to be holding on to, but we think that we do, that, or the ego again. It might be worthwhile to just real quickly kind of define what we mean by this word ego.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite definition is the ego is that which defines, interprets, projects, judges, analyzes. It's the thing which is kind of always making up the world, and we're kind of always, there's that thing that talks to us inside our heads that tells us all sorts of strange things like, you're no good, and why did you do that, and, and it's kind of identifying what that voice is, and then learning how to be free of that, the tyranny, really, of that voice. And forgiveness, again, as you said, is the process by which that's done, by where you learn that at some point you're going to let go, so why not let go now of what you're holding on to? I'm making it very, very simple.
I was going to say, you know, that, and I think a lot of people would hear that and say, yes, that's right. But as we all know, it's not something that is done in the blink of an eye.
No, but I'll give you an example. I was leading a workshop, and there was a woman in the group who started talking about how she couldn't forgive this former boyfriend lover of hers for having jilted her. And she finally stopped talking about it. I said, well, one thing you might realize is you don't have a choice. Someday you will let this go, and you will forgive him, so why not do it now? And it was like this one of those rare experiences where you see the light go on. And she realized that was true, that she would eventually let go and that she had to let go. And why should she delay happiness or her own happiness? You know, she's making herself miserable by holding on to it. So she decided to let it all go. And it's just this remarkable, you could see the change come over her face. And she was talking later about how liberated she felt because she knew it doesn't usually happen that quickly, but it can.
Well, we've talked about forgiveness. Now it's time to talk about stand-up comedy. you also do stand-up comedy.
I do. I usually put it on to the end of a long hour and a half lecture process that I do. And I just, you know, I've been a minister, believe it or not, for 50 years, and I realized a long time ago that I wanted to get my congregation to laugh at least once, and several times if I can within the presentation. It's especially in the earlier on in the message that you can get a good laugh going. It kind of releases the energy and it makes people feel better. So I just started collecting jokes and things over the course of the year, and mostly what I do is play on words. It's mostly puns, but you can have a lot of fun with puns. Mostly what I do is just kind of plays on the New Age and psychology and philosophy and some of the silly stuff that we've come up with. And so that's it. I just one day realized if I just all this collection that I've done over the years, I could put a lot of this together in a routine. And so I pretend like I'm a professor, which I am, or was. You know, I'm no longer teaching on a college level like I did. And I wear one of those professor hats and a stole and a robe. And come out, of course, what I'm saying is just sort of backwards and ridiculous much of the time. But that's what makes it funny. Twists and turns.